the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Frank, good morning to you.
Good morning, Adrian.
Former Schools rugby coach, I'm sure people, our viewers this morning will have seen this, former rugby Schools coach and teacher was yesterday sentenced to 8 years in prison for abusing 23 students between 1973 and 1990. John McLean, the man in question here, and joining us to shed some light on that, what's been going on there for decades in this country, has been a very dark corner of Irish life. And to shine a bit of light on it is Frank Graney. And Frank, you talked to us first of all about the extent of the abuse and how this John McLean used his role as a teacher and rugby coach to carry out the abuse.
I will, and I'll be very conscious of the time of day it is as well. Just to put things into perspective for you, your viewers and listeners, it took the prosecution the best part of about 7 hours over 2 days of court last week, at a sentence hearing last week, to outline all of his offending over a 17-year period at Terran York College. Can you imagine that, sitting for 7 hours, the guts of a full shift at work, and listening to all of this abuse and how it has affected the 23 boys who bravely came forward? He was a teacher for 30 years at the private school in Terran York. He was an English teacher. He used his role as a teacher, as a rugby coach at the school, and through his role as costume fitter for the school plays to carry out this horrendous abuse. He pleaded guilty to 27 counts of abuse against 23 boys between 1973 and 1990. I won't go into the explicit details of what he'd done. Just give your listeners, I suppose, a flavour of some of the abuse that took place in the classroom. We heard one of the boys was abused in front of all of his classmates. We heard abuse took place under the guise of private tuition after class. We heard that he was appointed as the first year's form master, and that role required him to have an office, and he would bring boys to his office when they got in trouble in class. He'd often meet them in the corridor standing outside their classrooms, and he would bring them to his office to reprimand them. And cruelly, he would often give them the option of taking a few lashes of a ruler, a six of the best, as he used to call it, or tell their parents what they had done. Now, more often than not, the pupil who found themselves in trouble would opt for the former. He would then lay them across his lap, and he would lash them with this ruler on their bare backside. Afterwards, then, he would pretend to comfort them, and that's when the abuse would take place. He also used his role as rugby coach at the school to abuse young athletes. He was the de facto physio for the team, even though he had absolutely no qualifications for that role. There was one promising young rugby player who injured himself in a blitz playing for Terran York College, and he was brought to a small treatment room in the school. He was summoned there, and when he went in, we heard that John McLean abused him in that treatment room. And when he confronted him about it, and I suppose he was a little bit older than some of the other survivors, and when he confronted him about it, John McLean's reaction was to drop him from the team. So there was that constant threat looming over the heads of these athletes that were summoned to his treatment room. Many dropped from the A team to the B team. You know, some promising young athletes that had sporting aspirations that were just dashed because of their interactions with John McLean. A lot of the abuse also took place. I mentioned earlier that he was a costume fitter for the school plays, and a lot of the abuse would have taken place through that role. And there was one boy who was summoned to the changing room. The door was closed behind him. It often was. His office was often locked when he carried out this abuse. Three dresses were placed in front of this young boy, and he was told to try them on, and he was told to take his clothes off when the boy stripped down to his underwear to try on these costumes. John McLean made it very clear that he was to take off the underwear. The effects on these boys, now grown men, has been horrendous, as you can imagine, the abuse taking place over a 17-year period. It's incredible that it went on for that long.
Yeah, it's really horrific, even to listen to the details of it, and so much as you've summarised there. In relation to the school itself, Dan Frank, Turner College, and the Carmelites Order, in the wake of those revelations, that they were made as far back as 1979, have they questions to answer here? Have we heard from them yet, or how will that play out?
They issued a statement. That's a very good question, Adrian. They issued a statement after John McLean was sentenced to 8 years in prison yesterday, 11 years to 3 years suspended. That was the sentence that Judge Pauline Codd handed down. And on behalf of Terenure College and the Carmelites Order, and I suppose for those of you who aren't familiar with Terenure College, it's a private fee-paying school with a good rugby tradition in Dublin, but it's run by the Carmelites Order of Ireland. It's a Catholic school under their trusteeship. And they did issue a statement yesterday, and they made an apology to the survivors. They commended them for their bravery. They said they were committed to supporting any survivors of abuse at their school in any way that they can. There was no mention in that statement of financial support. Maybe we'll get to that in a moment. But as far back as 1979, this abuse began. The first offence that was brought before the court that he was convicted of took place in 1973. In 1979, we heard that one of the boys went to the school prefect with a complaint of abuse against John McLean. That prefect then went to the school principal. The school principal at the time did invite the parents of the boy and indeed the boy in for a chat about what happened. The only action that was taken on the back of that complaint was to remove John McLean from his role as costume fitter for the school plays. No other action was taken. We heard that the then school principal who handled the matter pulled the school captain out of class one day and he brought him in. And this was after he had spoken to the boy and the boy's parents. And he brought the school captain to his office and he said the allegations made against John McLean were false, were not true. And that was the end of that as far as the school captain was concerned. So no further action taken apart from, as I mentioned, him being removed from that role, which gave him, I suppose, you know, incredible access to the children. And that's where a lot of this abuse took place. Incredibly, Adrian, the following year in 1980, he was appointed form master for the first years. That role, as I mentioned earlier, required him to have an office. And we now know that 9 boys were abused in that office after he took up that role after 1980. So that was after a complaint had been made to the school principal in 1979, incredible stuff. In 1996 then, and this is more troubling, in 1996, we heard that a parent of one of the boys went to the head of the Carmelites Order in Ireland. Again, they oversee and run Terenure College, brought a complaint to him of abuse against John McLean, who was still a teacher at the school. We heard that this parent told Father Robert Kelly that he was going to the Gardaí. Father Kelly then went to John McLean. We heard that the Carmelites solicitor got involved. There were a number of meetings held over the summer of 1996. And we heard there was a note taken at one of those meetings whereby John McLean admitted to the allegation that was brought before him. Now, he was told subsequently that he was no longer welcome to be a teacher or rugby coach at Terenure College. For the next academic year, he was granted a 3-year career break. After that, then he went on to take up a coaching role at UCD, and he never returned to Terenure College after that summer of 1996. Gardaí investigating these allegations then went back and got this note. And clearly there was this admission on the note of these meetings over the summer of 1996. And it was put to Father Kelly. And he said to Gardaí investigating these allegations that he didn't have a specific memory of John McLean admitting to that allegation. But he said that if it was in the note, it is true. What will happen now, I imagine, and what has already happened, as I understand it, 7 of the 23 survivors of John McLean's abuse at Terenure College have initiated legal action before the High Court, civil actions. They're suing Terenure College and the Carmelites Order. They are named defendants in these legal actions. And you would imagine, it's dangerous to speculate, but I know from speaking to some of the survivors outside court yesterday, that they intend to follow the same route. The Carmelites Order and Terenure College did issue that statement yesterday, but it's fair to say that there's still a bit to run on this story, and it's likely to end up in the High Court in the not so distant future.
It's incredible, remarkable how similar a lot of these stories that have cropped up, but what a blot on Irish society these stories have been, this abuse have been in this country over the last decades, and the similarities, as you explained them there, that have cropped up with the cover-ups that have happened, and generally with religious orders at the centre of them, has been incredible. Finally, Frank, just before we let you away, one of the victims and the judge spoke glowingly about the survivors that have come forward to get us where we are today. But one of the survivors waived his right to anonymity and spoke afterwards.
He did. And the man you're talking about is a 59-year-old taxi driver called Damien Hetherington. And he deserves huge credit and praise for coming forward firstly, but also then choosing to waive his right to anonymity so that he could share, I suppose, the impact of the abuse with the public. And he also had a very important message yesterday when he spoke to us outside court for survivors of historical abuse in general. He said, it's never too late to come forward, never give up. He was standing there elated with how things transpired, that he was believed and that there were others out there. And he felt a great show of solidarity with his other survivors. And granted, they chose not to waive their rights to anonymity for their own reasons. And that is, of course, their right. He did, and he took great solace in it. And he said that it was of some comfort to see his abuser being taken away to begin a prison sentence. So he was telling other survivors of abuse in general, again, not necessarily in relation to John McLean, that they will be listened to, that the Gardaí take these matters very seriously. He was the boy who was abused at 12 years of age in front of his entire class. We heard that they handed up some essays. Again, John McLean was an English teacher. And the boy's father bought him a very fancy hardback copybook, cost him 50p, Damien said. And this was handed up with his essay in it. And when John McLean handed back their essays, the boy noticed that he hadn't received his one back. And he was concerned because, again, this was a special gift from his father. It had a sentimental value to it. And he asked John McLean for it back, assuming that it was just an oversight and a mistake that he hadn't given his one back to him. And John McLean replied, and I think this just went to the heart of how cruel a man he was, and he said that he would have handed back if he felt there was 50p worth of work in it. And then he then ordered him up to the top of the class. John McLean sat on his desk, spread his legs, and he drew the boy, Damien, closer to him as he read out the winning essay for the rest of the class. That took about 15 to 20 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes, the grand scheme of things, isn't a very long time. It has had a devastating impact on Damien Hetherington. It's fair to say that it ruined his life. He described himself yesterday in a jovial way as the best taxi driver to come out of Terranure College. And what he meant by that was he had high expectations for his education. His parents didn't have a lot of money. And this was a theme shared and a feeling shared by a lot of the survivors, was that their families couldn't afford to send them to Terranure College. They scrimped and saved. And one of them remembered his parents counting out coppers on the kitchen table to try and pay fee installments. So this wasn't an easy thing for their parents to do, but they felt it was the right thing to do. They wanted Damien and the others to have an excellent education. And Damien found himself terrified of going to school, suffered from depression afterwards, took to mitching, would wander around the streets of Dublin City in the 1970s, waiting for the time to go home. He couldn't tell his parents. He was afraid to tell his parents. He also didn't want to disappoint them. He felt feelings of shame. A lot of them complained of feeling confused about their sexual orientation. Some of them became aroused by the abuse, and they thought that perhaps, you know, they were gay. That affected them greatly. Such confusion can mix feelings at such a young age. They all felt robbed of an education, and that lies squarely at the desk of John McLean. Some of them turned to drink, some of them turned to drugs. As I mentioned, they all suffer from depression in their own little way. Damien is a beacon of hope for the survivors, in my opinion. He put that down largely to his wife and his three amazing children. And if Damien is driving around Dublin and listens to this in his taxi today, he can be very proud of himself. He has done a great justice to himself, his family, and arguably more importantly at this point, to other survivors who may be sitting at home with a story to tell, but maybe feeling too afraid to come forward. They now know that they have a voice, and that voice will be listened to.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go, snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.